Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
The trade deadline is now, what, 3 full days away? Saturday, Sunday, then Monday at 6 o'clock is the trade deadline. So we're going to bring in Emmanuel Babari here, who is locked in on the Yankees like nobody else. He's been in the clubhouse. He's talked to all these guys. Let me bring in Emmanuel Babari right now, and you tell me, Emmanuel, and it's great to hear from you again, as we heard from you a few hours ago after the big win, the big 2-0 win over the Cubs. What's the vibe like with this team right now, especially the offense, because the pitching has been phenomenal, but 10 of the last 14 games, the Yankees have scored less than three runs. That is a problem.
Yeah, I think the best way I could put it, Pete, and great to talk to you, is they're in the trenches right now. Like, the Yankees are in the trenches of the season, and they're just trying to find a way to, I don't want to just say keep themselves afloat, but just play good baseball during this time where their big boppers are still down. And that's really what I look to. When you zoom out on the season and the calendar, you look at around Labor Day, and that's around the time you should hopefully have Judge coming back and Stanton back and Bellinger hopefully back in the fold. But for right now, you look up and down the lineup and there are guys who, you know, can get the job done, but on a night in, night out basis, your lineup just doesn't have the depth that you're accustomed to seeing. So today you get a couple of big blows. You salve Minaga the second time through the order. Rosario hits one 450 feet and Spencer Jones has really settled in and got him more comfortable at the major league level. And you're doing just enough offensively, but it's just enough. That's what we've seen in these victories. I think the Yankees are very fortunate in some of these narrow games. Yeah, they lost 2 heartbreaking extra inning games to the White Sox, but more often than not, they've been winning these close, low-scoring games where the pitching has been elite and the defense has been elite. They got to keep doing that over this time, or else you're going to be on the short end because you're just not getting enough from the lineup right now.
Yeah, and it all takes, Emmanuel, is one bad play here or there, and we could see that, you know, look at the World Series in Game 5. I mean, it takes a couple bad plays for you to lose a tight game, and you can't afford that when the Yankees are so good. Like, they still are one of the best teams in the league. They're still hunting down, though, Tampa Bay. You want that top seed like we saw last year. That was a big problem with the Yankees not going further, is they didn't have the home field advantage. You saw how that helped the Blue Jays out. You know, but the Yankees need that top seed. That means they need to win more games. And you got 3 days to really make some major changes to this team. First of all, you made a statement that Labor Day for Aaron Judge. What makes you really think that Aaron Judge is going to be back in Labor Day? And are you 100% sold on that? Or is it like, you know, 50-50 that he's going to be back?
So I'm just a math guy, Pete, and I'm trying to ballpark it for the three guys. So for Aaron Judge, you hope that it could be Labor Day, but you don't truly know. Nobody, you, me, anyone sitting in their car at home listening, anyone with the Yankees probably have a better idea than most, but no one truly knows until you image it again and you see that Aaron Judge is fully in the clear, because the last time they imaged him, they were hoping for improvement, and they got improvement, but not enough to get him back to upper body and baseball activities. So until you can do that, no one can definitively stand here and say Aaron Judge is going to be back this season. They can say they expect it, and that's completely fair to say, but you can't say you expect him to be back this season. So I expect, based on that Judge's confidence, the Yankees are confident that he'll be back around that range, which is around the time Bellinger will be back and Stanton should be back. So I think the Labor Day ballpark is good for the three of them as of right now, and that's probably best case scenario of what we're looking at. And then the rest of the time is really, okay, what reinforcements are you building in at the trade deadline? Is your starting pitching going to continue to give you elite-level performance? Because if they do, you're going to be in games more often than not, and you're going to compete with Tampa for the division, which you had alluded to is so important, because being a one seed versus being in a best-of-three wild card, maybe a rematch with the Boston Red Sox at this rate in a best-of-three wild card, even if it's at Yankee Stadium, you just don't want to be in that scenario because you want to line up your pitching in a five-game series and hopefully a seven-game series down the road, and that's the bedrock of this Yankee team. You don't want to put anything to chance at a best of three.
No, I 100% agree with that. And again, I don't always say that for every team, but for the Yankees, like, this is a year that they need to go far. They need to be back in the World Series.
And
I,
sure.
I know that you put pressure on them every year, but like they haven't won since 2009. They were there in 2024. They took a step back last year. But here's why it's so important to make moves, my opinion here, is because you just alluded to, nobody really knows about Aaron Judge.
That's the catch here, Pete, is no one knows right now, and no one could know until you re-image him and you can build him back up. And remember, Aaron Judge hasn't really done, you know, rampant upper body activity in a long time. So you got to build him up once you have this re-imaging in the clear. And moving forward, I think it's more important to think about Aaron Judge. Beyond this year, Judge isn't getting any younger. Gerrit Cole's not getting any younger. Giancarlo Stanton, hopefully getting back, not getting any younger. Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, both on the other side of 30 years old. Those aren't the only guys who are in peak prime position to deliver you a championship. So while you can do it coinciding with the young guys who have developed so nicely in your system, whether it be a Ben Rice or a Cam Schlittler, et cetera, you got to win right now. In the American League, you're in perfect position to do it this year, which is why I expect the Yankees to be active at the deadline.
All right, so let's get to the deadline stuff because, you know, here's the reality. You, as a team that is where the Yankees are, you have the luxury of spending money. You also have the luxury of they do have a very high, solid farm system that you have. Guys like George Lombard. You have guys that are playing right now in Dominguez and Spencer Jones that are highly touted, and Jones, who's now proven that he could hit lefties, he hit a home run today off a lefty, he's got power. If he can get more comfortable, maybe he is a significant bat. What is the more likely, in your thoughts, that the Yankees are going to go and spend at the deadline, meaning trade for guys that are just going to cost a lot more money but less assets in the prospect world, or give up those prospects to go maybe get, maybe not a Mason Miller, because again, the Padres are still wishy-washy, but if it's a Tarik Skubal, hell, you know what? If that's what we got and he's the best player available and there's no one else that we can get that's going to be significant, let's go put the prospects out and go get him. Is that, what is more likely?
I think the Yankees are going to be aggressive in the sense that any move that can put them over the top, and they're ready. If we're to project them being whole and healthy down the road, they're already very close to being a championship team. You know, I think that's fair to say. You would agree, I would agree. With the Yankees at full strength, they're already close to being a championship team. So they're looking for over-the-top moves. And if anything presents itself, you mentioned a Mason Miller. We don't know truly some of these guys whether they're going to be available. But the Yankees are going to be making all those calls. The Yankees are going to be in on those guys. Now, it's always discussed, to your point, about is salary dumps and prospect capital versus maybe not giving up as much of your prospects, but taking on a contract or two. That's always discussed in the framework of these deals. I think the Yankees are looking at whatever makes sense, and ultimately it comes down to who's available. And I think this is what makes this trade deadline a little bit more unknown than most. You know, Tarik Skubal, we didn't know for a while. Now it seems inevitable that he's going to get moved with the way things have gone for the Tigers over the last couple of weeks. You know, even Casey Mize got scratched from the start. Yep. The Tigers are in complete sell mode. That should tell you all you need to know. They even DFA'd Rodgers and Skubal's personal catcher. That tells you all you need to know about where the Tigers are headed and what they're going to do. But other teams, you have no earthly idea. You know, we have no clue whether these teams are going to buy, whether they're going to sell. And just look at the standings. I would implore anybody who's wondering, oh, why aren't you sure? Why don't you know who's going to buy or sell? Look at the standings right now and how many teams are at 500 or a game or two below or above 500. It is unprecedented how many teams are in that gray area, not knowing whether, look, let's try to make a run and squeak into the postseason and take our shot in a crapshoot, or, you know, we just don't think we're good enough and let's look out for the longer term. Also, there's that lingering effect that you and I don't know about, We couldn't honestly sit and look at a crystal ball and say, we know what's going to happen next year. But there's that looming possible work stoppage. If a team thinks, okay, this year we can go into the postseason and make a run and really give teams scares, why not take your shot this year? You know, we don't know what the financial framework for baseball are going to look like next year. And I think that's one of the reasons why if the Dodgers have a chance to land a Tarek Skubal, they're going to take their swing. They won back-to-back championships. They don't know what things are going to look like next year. They're going to do it because why not? Why can't we do it? So it's really a fascinating deadline in terms of we don't know what's going to happen until about, let's say, 3 or 4 hours before the deadline when certain teams say we are definitively selling.
So you think this is going to be a very slow-moving deadline then, if that's the case? That means the next few days, well, it's going to be a lot of conversation, but nothing's going to happen, and which is crazy because here's the reality. You just nailed it, though. Like, I'm looking at the Orioles because I've had to fight with everybody that the Mets are terrible this year, and partly because Pete Alonso didn't return, and everyone's going, but look at the Orioles. They're not that good. They're 3 games under 500 right now, to your point, which is not that far. That's 2.5 games out of a wild card spot, and they're tied with the Phillies. So if they win, they're back to they're 2 games out of a wild card and 2 games under 500. Like, everybody's in it. There's 6 teams that aren't in it, and one of those teams is in Queens, the New York Mets. We know how ridiculous it is that we've gone through, hey, this would be a great trade with the Mets and the Yankees. But this year, when a team like the Yankees are buying and there's so few teams that we don't know, we only know that there's like 6 teams that are definitely going to be selling, the likelihood of a Mets-Yankee trade is more likely, especially sure. with the Mets trading everybody.
Oh, this would be the right year for a Yankees-Mets trade. And I know the Yankees and Mets don't normally trade at scale. Like any move we see the Yankees and Mets make with each other, it's typically on the margins. It's not something that's going to be earth-shattering. You're not looking at, oh, wow, Francisco Lindor just got moved cross town. You don't look at those type of moves and say, that's a cross-town trade that's realistic. But this would be the year, if there's any year, where at least a mid-level move that shifts the needle in the Yankees' direction and the Mets could get fairly compensated in return. This is the type of year where you look at it and say, more so than any season, the Yankees and Mets could deal, because the Mets are a definitive seller and the Yankees are a definitive buyer. You look at the Orioles, I think that's a perfect point you brought up. They're the case study. Like, they are on the doorstep of the postseason. They're not any good. I'm sorry. They're not a good baseball team. And I think they know that deep down. But I don't blame any organization or ownership group that looks at it and says, so why shouldn't we take our shot? So we can squeak into the postseason. We have talent. We have guys who are underperforming that we expected more from. Now, the Tigers, on the flip side, they're going to sell because of the way they played the last couple of weeks, and they buried themselves early. But if the Tigers squeaked in, I think they would be far more dangerous than a Baltimore. Yet the Orioles just happen to be in a better position. So that's sort of the conundrum that front offices are going through right now. Like, are we any good? The Mets know they're not any good. Yeah. The Yankees know they're good. And I think there are needs that fit on both sides, where the Yankee prospect capital, the Mets have a Tyrone Taylor and a Brooks Raley. They have guys you could realistically see fitting in that aren't a Francisco Lindor. And those are the type of moves where the Mets wouldn't get crucified for trading somebody like that cross town, because that's a role player type as opposed to a superstar or shattering type move.
So you're telling me Francisco Lindor and is to the Yankees is not happening?
I would be surprised. I mean, would I be interested and fascinated by that type of move? Sure. But I would always be surprised if the caliber of Francisco Lindor is traded cross town. I'd just be shocked by that.
Yeah, you know what? And here's the thing, is because we're talking about, and this is the reality, Emmanuel, we're sitting there, and I know Caballero has a lot of spark to him. He's got fire. And by the way, as we're speaking of it, Lindor just smashes a home run to right field. So, you know, he's back to being his prime self in the summertime. He heats up. But that's beside the point. The shortstop situation for the Yankees is, you know, an issue. you know, to say the least. We could sit there and talk about Volpe and say, oh, we got to give him time. He's not that bad defensively. You know, he makes an error here or there, but then you got to look at the other plays. Whatever you want to say, he is not the guy. And it's tough to say that because a lot of people like him. He's a good kid, all that stuff. It's just not working out here. Jose Caballero is not the guy either, even though he adds a little spark to it here and there, like today, that challenge that they called. He ran off the field. He was off the field before the umpire could even make the call, but he's that guy. He just has something about him, so he adds a little edge to it. That is a perfect spot for the Yankees to go and beef up. They are desperate need for a shortstop. Who is the likelihood to go fill it if it's not Lindor?
George Lombard. And that's what I would tell you is I don't think the Yankees are necessarily looking at this as if we need to make a move.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We've had the shortstop position. They've had their eyes on a guy who's in their own system for quite some time, who we don't know if he'll be a superstar or not, but we know he checks all the boxes. We know he has all the tools. And I would just be stunned if the Yankees and Mets, given they never link up on moves to that caliber, right? Yeah. Like, we could see, if Tyrone Taylor was traded to the Yankees tomorrow, would you be surprised? No.
No.
If
no.
Brooks Raley was, would you be surprised? No. If Francisco Lindor was, just based on history, we'd be surprised. I think there's two different elements here. Do the Yankees have interest in a player of that caliber at that position? Absolutely. Do they also have a guy they're really high on in the minors who could be up in the next few days? I can see a world where the Yankees finish the trade deadline, all the dust settles, and they coincided with an announcement, we're calling up George Lombard because he's big league ready and we want him for this stretch run and to get his feet wet in the month of August before he can really get accustomed to big league pitching and then be a big factor down the stretch. So I think two things can be true. The Yankees are interested in that position and shortstop and what Lombard has to provide, and they're also interested in other shortstops. I'm sure they're making calls all across the league, but I'm not sure if that shortstop's going to be a Lindor.
So if you're telling me that Lombard's going to be the guy, why haven't they made the move yet? Like, what's the reason? We've been sitting here with Anthony Volpe forever. Is it just because they want to give him as much time as possible, Anthony Volpe is, to earn that job, to win that job? Or is it because, to me, if Lombard's ready, call him up. Maybe he'd add a spark to the offense too.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, and I'm sure you could be splitting hairs this week, next week, the prior week, 2 weeks from now. At a certain point, you just call the guy up and see what he has to do and get him acclimated to the major league level. The way the Yankees look at it is they don't want to make a mistake. Maybe it's not a mistake with Anthony Volpe when they called him up, but you need to make sure this guy's a prized item. This guy could be a future superstar. You don't want to play with his development in any way, shape, or form. He hasn't played that many games at the AAA level. And they've known his big league caliber defense has been there for quite some time. They'd have no trepidation early this year, last year, calling up George Lombard, letting him play shortstop at the major league level. They know that part of his game is a given. The question has been the hitting, and he's checked every box since he's gone back from his injury this year, which in turn hasn't given as many games at the AAA level. When he got back, he hit back-to-back home runs, back-to-back days. And you started thinking, wow, like this guy's continuing the momentum he had pre-injury. He might be big league ready, but he still played only so many games at the AAA level. I think that's more of it than any sort of service time or any sort of off-the-wall theories about why the Yankees haven't called him up. I think it's more likely they just don't want to play with this guy's development. They really value the person, George Lombard, and they don't want to rush him. And then maybe after the trade deadline, they feel, hey, he's had enough at-bats at the AAA level, and they call him up sometime in August. I can't really see through, but I think that's the most likely. Is they're trying to balance, okay, the development of this kid and not putting him in a bad spot, while also what's best for this year's team.
Emmanuel Babari with us right now. He covers the Yankees, or he does the post in the pregame with the Yankees on WFAN. Sometimes fills in and does the play-by-play, which is amazing when you're there, because Emmanuel has a voice of an angel. And what he did for me last year for my my Little League team, East Chester Little League, and the kids loved it. He recorded all their names and for all the intros. And I, every single mother and father and kid came up and give me hugs. I'm like, it's not for me. You owe Emmanuel. So if you run into people and they just start giving you hugs, it's probably, they're probably from East Chester. Just let you know that.
You know what? That's good to know. That's fair warning if I run into somebody from East Chester, or at least if I run into somebody I don't know is from East Chester, and I have a decent idea of who it could be. But I got to ask you, is this still in rotation? Like, are those recordings still in the purview?
The kids keep their number. They've all kept their number. Okay. They're all on the same team. We do have a new addition, so he needs a new recording. So I do have to bust your chops on that. But we'll do that for the fall, because guess what? There's a fall league, too. It never ends, Emmanuel. It just continues to
great.
Go.
And,
but
it's great. You keep the vocal cords loose. I could record a new batch for you come the fall.
I love it. And I need another favor from you, because
sure. We
talked about the shortstop position. There's somebody currently on the team who is a free agent at the end of the year. There's not a given he's going to come back. There's not a given that he's going to be a contract offer. There's really not a given at all with him. He is productive at times, and other times he walks out there with a lollipop in his mouth. That's Jazz Chisholm. My son, I just spent a ton of money on a Jazz Chisholm camp on this Thursday. He's going to go and hang out with them. He's going to he's going to take a picture with them. He's going to take a camp with them. He's going to have a one-on-one session with them. It's going to be awesome. Unless he gets traded, is there a world that Jazz Chisholm is not a New York Yankee come Monday night?
I never say never to anything. You know, I have a habit of, we've seen trades over the years where guys on the current team, I remember back, and there are several examples of this. I never expected Jordan Montgomery to get traded for Harrison Bader. You know, he was such a fixture in that Yankee rotation and a promising up-and-coming pitcher. Not even up-and-coming at that point. I view Jordan Montgomery as an established lefty starter in the league at the point where he got traded for a need, an everyday center fielder in Harrison Bader. That might be a little bit of an off-the-wall comparison, considering we're talking about Jazz Chisholm, who's playing second every day for this Yankee team. But it just goes to show you never know. Like, names are floated, calls are made. And one thing I've learned from talking to people over the years is that the far-fetched, you know, fantasy baseball-type trades that fans might dream about, you know, I dream about when I think about the Yankee team. Oh, how could they shore up this position or that position? I do it every offseason. And you think about the wildest dreams, and you think about the reality as well. A lot of those deals, and then some, are actually discussed. It doesn't mean they get far. It doesn't mean they get to the finish line. It doesn't mean they get close to pen to paper. It doesn't mean anything happens. It just means they're discussed. So Jazz Chisholm or any player on the Yankee roster that's maybe not named one of their fundamental cornerstone players, I'm sure they come up in conversation. So I would never say never to anything. All I would say is that the Yankees think Jazz Chisholm hasn't lived up to exactly what he can be. He's still putting up astronomical numbers when you consider...
Well,
think
he's
about
not
how you and I
he's not putting up 50-50-50 numbers. Didn't he say
it's
going to be 50-50 this
year? well, I mean, astronomical compared to that. Everything's relative. But based on what you and I expected and what you and I have seen, would you think that Jazz Chisholm has an outside shot at 20-40 this year? Based on the way he's been talked about, would you think he has a shot at 20-40?
No, he's
going to get 20-40 in his sleep. So this is a valuable player who hasn't been consistent for the Yankees this year. He's admitted, he said he stunk when he was asked how he's played this year. He's very self-aware and honest about it. So this guy could be part of the Yankee solution. You never know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. But what I would say is this guy can be very valuable, and the best baseball definitely could be in front of him, because we saw a way more consistent Jazz Chisholm even last year than what we've seen the first, 4 months of this year.
So, again, Emmanuel Babari with us for a few more minutes. Second base, you seem like he's going to be there, Jazz Chisholm. Shortstop, you're saying Lombard. We know first base is Ben Rice is right now with Paul Goldschmidt's belling at times. Let's go to third base. Are they going to make an upgrade? Ryan McMahon's defense is good enough, but his bat's not the best. unless they go and make a significant move in the outfield or catcher or maybe even DH. But again, you got Stanton coming back, like you said, and Judge potentially and Bellinger. Third base and catcher are really the two positions, if it's not shortstop, that you're going to focus on. So between, let's combine it. Between third base and catcher, what's more likely, who is going to be added to this team between third base and catcher? Is it one of those two spots?
Way more likely catcher. And I think that's the one that's had buzz and smoke and fire even over the last few weeks. The Yankees want to make an upgrade there. It doesn't mean me saying that they look at the catcher position as an area for improvement doesn't mean Austin Wells is gone. I know people sometimes look at it that way. The Yankees believe in Austin Wells, and I think he'll be part of the picture in some way, shape, or form. Like, if Austin Wells' playing time is reduced after the deadline, but they bring in a righty-hitting catcher who can tag team or be the starter, and Austin Wells plays, let's say, two times a week, would any of us be shocked?
No,
because they value Wells a lot. And also, even if Wells wasn't hitting, and I think anything he does more than what the production has stood for this year the rest of the way, that would be an improvement, because Austin Wells, admittedly, it's been a nightmarish offensive season for him. But defensively, he knows the staff. He's really valuable. He frames well.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's one of the trepidations for any team adding a catcher midseason, especially a team in contention, is you look at it and say, you got to learn an entire new pitching staff. You know, even what Ollie Sanchez has done, he was in spring training with this team, but he had to pick it up on the fly when he got called up from AAA, and he's actually done a nice job with the pitching staff. That's a big endeavor. So I think Austin Wells will be part of this no matter what. The question becomes, which righty-hitting catcher either platoons with him or starts, and then Wells drops back into the periphery, maybe a start or two a week. Wells will be there, is my gut. The Yankees are going to look to improve that second catcher position.
If it's not Ryan Jeffers because the Twins are trading, and if it's not Shea Langeliers because he's hurt, who could it possibly be? I mean, who are they looking at? Are they looking at Hunter Goodman? I think would be a very hefty price tag. Is that worth all your prospects?
He's on my big board. I love Hunter Goodman. And you look at his home road splits, he's actually hitting far better on the road this year. When you talk about the Coors Field factor, he hits righties, he hits lefties. There's a lot of talk about his defense. I think he does at least an adequate job behind the plate, and the Yankees could work with him. I think Hunter Goodman is a perfect fit for the Yankees. The question becomes, there are reports out there the Rockies asked for a George Lombard. I don't blame them. When you have a catcher who is at 30-plus home runs already this year, has prodigious offensive skill set, and is young, and has years of control, what's not to like? Of course you ask for a George Lombard in return. But can the Yankees talk them down from that level? There have been talks. The question is, can you get that deal to the finish line? But I think Hunter Goodman would be an amazing fit for this team.
Right, and you like Emmanuel Babari with us. Like you said earlier, you think that Lombard's going to be the shortstop the rest of the way. At some point in time, he's going to get called up. So if you trade Lombard and you bring in Hunter Goodman, then you're basically, you know, you're improving.
You're canceling something out.
Yeah.
So, right.
So, I mean, would you then think that they're actively going to get a shortstop? I mean, I think that they still want to have a better if they take that risk and take the prospect. Let's put it this way. Someone asked a good question before, and let's hear what you think about it. The Padres with Manny Machado's contract. Again, it's absurd, right? We all know that. He's an upgrade defensively over McMahon, and he's still got a little pop left. He's not young by any means.
Oh, I take it.
But
if
you put him with Mason Miller, what are you going to do? Are you going to go prospects, or are you going to pay off the contract? Because you got to remember, it's going to be what you're not going to take Mason Miller and Machado and be like, well, we're not paying for any of Machado, but we're also not going to give you George Lombard. So if you're the Yankees, what are you going to do?
Right. I think the headwinds have shifted a little bit over the last week or so. I had brought this up when I was with you guys last week with C-Mac on the Carton Show, and I had mentioned how Machado and Miller would be like the dream scenario where you land your bullpen piece, and not just a piece, but a lights out back end piece, and then you attach a contract where maybe you're not giving up as much prospect capital. That's the dream scenario where probably not realistic. It's probably not going to happen. But if you put Manny Machado over at third base, even at his age, you worry about the, let's call it a leaner years later, and you worry about right now where Machado would have a big chip on his shoulder. He's not completely diminished offensively. He's still hitting home runs, just having a down year average-wise. You plop him into a pennant race on this Yankee team. You know, it's a match made in heaven. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it would be an ideal type of move. Now, when you look elsewhere at a possible Hunter Goodman type of trade, you wonder, okay, what's the breaking point? You know, what are the breaking points in these discussions? And George Lombard is a name that the Colorado Rockies have asked about. I will give you a prediction right now. George Lombard is not getting traded. I just don't see that happening at this deadline. I could see any other asset, any sort of creative move happening with the Yankees. And I think the Yankees are in a position to swing big, because they are an all-in team, and they have the possibility to win it all this year, given not just aging. I'm not going to call it aging, but you have guys peak performance prime right now. The Aaron Judge championship window is closing to some extent. You can win this year. You're right there. It's within your grasp.
Yeah.
You want to get back to the World Series and take your shot, whether it's the Dodgers or any other team out of the National League. So I think the Yankees will move anybody except George Lombard. That's the way I look at it.
No, well, that's going to be something, because if they can make a big splash and keep Lombard, I mean, you're talking about, like you said, you got all bases basically covered. You got your shortstop. You'll potentially have a new catcher. So your prediction, how many trades over under, I guess, 3.5? How many moves will the Yankees make before the deadline?
Okay, let's go moves of substance, because there's always that trade maybe we don't expect, or a guy on the margins that trickles in at the last second. Last year, the Yankees, you recall, I recall, they were very active, and they made several moves, whether it was the bullpen, whether it was Rosario or Caballero. The Yankees were very active at the deadline last year, and they fortified the bullpen in several different areas. So I expect the Yankees this year to make moves of substance over under 2.5.
Number
I say.
Got it.
2.5. And I put it at that number because it could end up being 5, but maybe the last two aren't moves that we're writing home about. They could factor in later on in a big-time way, but they're not those names that we start talking about and saying, wow, that guy's going to be impacting in our lineup tomorrow.
No, right? You're so, right. Caballero, we've been talking about for the past year. I mean, once he got here, we've been talking about him constantly.
Exactly.
But we didn't expect it at the
exactly.
time.
So I expect maybe a couple tack-on moves on top of the moves of substance that I'm talking about. But let's go over under 2.5 on substantial moves. I think the Yankees will make 2 or 3 moves that we're discussing come Tuesday as moves that can move the needle for this team.
And if you have to take one, not guarantee, but if there's one guy that you think is most likely a Yankee come the end of the trade deadline, who is it? Who's not currently a Yankee right now?
That's a great question. If I had to guess, and all this is just speculation, because you never know how these conversations develop, but I think you're going to see a catcher, and a catcher, we're using the word substance, added to the Yankees. And my big board dream scenario, would the Orioles trade you an Adley Rutschman? Would they? You know, you're in division. Are they buyers? Are they sellers? They're more likely sellers, but they're trying to all figure that out and calculate it as we go. That's the type of guy I'd put at the top of my big board, right next to a Hunter Goodman. So I think the catching position is the blatant one where the Yankees have been hunting, they've been searching, and I think it's just as likely they land somebody massive as maybe they do nothing at all. And they try to take their shot at Bellinger coming back, and Judge coming back, and Stanton coming back. You know, the best pitching staff in the league. Let's go. Let's get into a playoff series and take our shot. That's always within the realm of possibility. But I think one of those big catchers will be a Yankee.
And I think it is safe to say, you nailed it. I mean, they have the best pitching staff in the league. I mean, maybe the Dodgers, but they truly do. Between Schlittler, between Fried when he's healthy, because he's been a little rough his last game. But Gerrit Cole is, not saying he's back to being Cy Young material, but I mean, he can give you a good 6-7 innings
And he's right there.
Yeah, I mean, he truly is. And Will Warren had a great outing today. I mean, you talk about this pitching staff. I mean, when they're fully healthy, they are a scary, scary pitching staff. And you already have a solid bullpen. So that is one part of this team right now that is not saying it's underrated by any means, but I don't think we give it as much credit. Don't realize, like, you talk about, like, the Atlanta Braves of the 90s of, like, oh, Maddox and Smoltz and Glavin. I mean, the Yankees have that right now.
Yeah, well, and it's also rounded in the form when you're talking about the bullpen over the last couple of months where you've had guys emerge, like a Paul Blackburn. When do we expect Paul Blackburn to be not a nice piece, but a guy at the back end of that Yankee bullpen? And look at today. Inning in a third gets you out of trouble and strikes out the side dominantly in the eighth inning. So the Yankees' trust tree is the way I would put it. It's grown. The branches have been added to the trust tree over the last month or so. Brent Hedrick's been phenomenal all year. Fernando Cruz is a guy who can get you out of a fire. Tim Hill has sort of been uneven this year as opposed to what we'd expect, but you still, at some point, you think he's going to come into form. And David Bednar has been a rock now at the back end of that bullpen for some time. So I think that Yankee bullpen is way more, not a sure thing, but closer to it than any time that we've been discussing it over the last few weeks. The starting pitching is phenomenal, and that's the strength of this team. The Yankees are more predicated on that starting pitching than any Yankee team I can remember in recent memory. And the way I would always say it is, look, let's say the Yankees did nothing at the trade deadline. You don't want them to do nothing. I don't want them to do nothing. Nobody wants them to do nothing. But if they did, if they go into a playoff series, let's say Fried, Cole, Schlittler, and Rodon were on the Yankees' opponent. Let's say they were on Detroit or Boston or Tampa or Houston. We would all be saying, wow, my goodness, how are the Yankees going to hit these guys? And you'd be a little bit scared about that series. So that's always the saving grace and the bedrock of this Yankee team is, look, more often than not, you should be in a game. You should have a chance to win a game, and you should de-emphasize the bullpen a bit because these guys should be giving you six innings, seven innings. So you have six outs apiece together instead of 8, 9, 10, 11. So I think that starting pitching is a major strength, and you also have guys like Weathers and Warren and Clark Schmidt eventually who can factor in your bullpen. So this Yankee pitching is really a strength, and that's why I would hate to see us overanalyze the deadline as something that's going to make or break the season. It can really help you. It could put you over the top, but it also isn't the end-all be-all.
Well, Emmanuel, listen, we're looking forward to what happens in the next few days here with the New York Yankees, and then we're looking forward to the playoffs with them because that's a guarantee. That's the one thing that Brian Cashman does every year is basically guarantees this Yankee team is going to be in the playoffs. But Emmanuel Babari does post, pre and post for WFAN. You hear him all the time here. He joins Craig and C-Mac. He does it all. He is the best. And Emmanuel, thank you again for staying up late with me on a Friday night. I know you worked your butt off earlier, but appreciate you joining me, bro.
Of course, Pete. I appreciate you, and I'll have those lineup introductions ready for you by a few months from now.
Look at that, Emmanuel. I appreciate you, man. He's always coming through in the clutch. You can't help it. But Emmanuel Babari, everybody.
Now we're talking.
Oh, exactly. Thank you, Paul. Paulie's giving me the cut sign, saying, "Kill him. We got to take a break." I haven't broke, but like it's important stuff here we're talking about.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.